listening to Get Sports Radio.
I am Dan Claskets, back with you here, your host of the podcast for episode number 41. We're wrapping up the regular season, coming your way on November the 29th. It's a Wednesday night, 9:45-ish Eastern time, and our new schedule. We have gone down to a weekly podcast. I'll do them every week all the way through the Super Bowl, mostly on Wednesday nights between now and then, helping you on the fantasy championship, wrapping up the fantasy season, talking NFL playoffs. We'll, of course, be in with some special off-season episodes as well and gearing back up. But, man, we've got a lot of football to go before then. Just a few weeks left of regular season action in the NFL. We are at week 13, so 5 weeks left, 5 games, 1 week in fantasy regular seasons in most cases. And in this show, we're going to get you ready. We're going to update you on all the latest injuries. We're going to go out and hit the waiver wire for you a little bit. A couple of our top recommendations there. Got some players I like more in week 13. Some I like less than others out there in the industry. And definitely going to do what we can to help you win. You want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, iTunes there. We appreciate any of the reviews that you will leave for us, especially on iTunes or Stitcher. Feedback, we'll take it too. You can email me anytime, getsportsinfo@gmail.com with feedback. Fantasy questions, I don't like to answer at that email address, but anything outside of that, love to hear from you. And I'll talk fantasy with you on my Twitter, at Dan Claskins. I'll answer questions there. Be doing a Thursday night, week 13 edition before the Redskins and the Cowboys tangle on a Twitter takeover at Pro Football Focus, PFF Fantasy. And you can obviously get my rankings now exclusively there as well as all my fantasy articles. GetSportsInfo.com, it's your home for the podcast. You can find us there. You can get our blog, The GSI Cheat Sheet by James Rapine, his studs, duds, and sleepers, my office pool picks, and really all the stuff you need to win throughout the season. And a lot of good off takes as well. Sometimes we like to put stuff up there not related to football, but to other sports or just other interest in general. So be sure to check it out. And if this is your first time listening, well, thanks for coming in. And man, you picked a good time to do it. The single most important week of the season. It's week 13, and this is your final chance. Some teams, you're probably already eliminated. Maybe some of you have already clinched not just your playoff berth, but your spot or your bye. But many others out there left scraping, and you know this is the time where you really just got to get that roster ready, start trimming some of that fantasy fat. Look at your players out there that you know, you're really going to need. I think it was interesting. In some of your deeper leagues, this might be the time. I know in the KFFC, for instance, and the Scout Online Championship, a couple of the leagues I was playing in, they freeze it up during that main event period of week 14 through 16. You can't make any other moves in the KFFC. I know it's the same in a lot of the other high-stakes leagues. So at the end of the day, you want to make sure you get that second kicker, get that second defense, handcuff your guys on those deeper teams to ensure that if your player goes down, you've got somebody on your bench. Speaking of benching, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but man, can you believe what's going on with the Giants? Benching Eli Manning in favor of Geno Smith for week 13, and what a disaster and train wreck situation this has become in New York. Ben McAdoo trying to keep his job and doing the best that he thinks he can. This is just one of those things I do not understand at all. The latest on it tonight, the Giants owner John Mara saying there is no guarantee that McAdoo won't be fired before the end of the season. So that is interesting too. But Eli, what a class act. He'll start Geno Smith and really dragging the Giants down immensely in my rankings across the board. And this organization has turned into a disaster of a situation, not just a season here. So we will see. But for Eli Manning, not the way you really wanted to see things end here. He is on the twilight of his career, obviously, but I don't think we've seen the last from him, but perhaps we have in a Giants uniform. As he leaves the field, another player returning to the gridiron, and this is Josh Gordon. He has been officially reinstated and expected to make his debut this week for the Browns against the Chargers in Los Angeles. And Gordon, of course, is one of the players that fantasy owners always just get overly enamored with. And Hugh Jackson, the Browns coach, for his part, talking about how he wants to get Josh Gordon, and I quote, as much as possible involved this week. But this is his first regular season appearance since December of 2014, people. Temper your expectations a little bit. I don't mind scooping him up if you were and you did. That's fine. But let him play his way into your fantasy lineups. A DFS dart, okay, I get it. I think it'll be probably too high of ownership for such a dart for my liking here. It's interesting. On my Twitter, I like to often put up fantasy polls. I put one up just a few short hours ago, so it's still going at Dan Claskins. Depending on how soon you listen to this podcast on Twitter, you can vote too. But the question was simple. If you had a wide receiver, if you were stuck with having to start either Martavis Bryant or Josh Gordon, who would you pick this week? And 54% say they would go with the Steelers receiver, Bryant, who, of course, with Juju Smith-Schuster status still hanging in there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That isn't surprising, but still 46% of the people would go with Josh Gordon. And to me, I've got him somewhere right around 45 to 50 in my ranks flexible, moving, fluid situation there. So he's not going to get in many lineups, if you ask me lineup questions. Maybe as your wide receiver 5, if you need such a thing, we could take a look there. But I'm tempering my expectations, to say the least. Pro Football Focus, that's where you can get my articles. I write 2 a week there right now on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and most of my articles are available there for free. My Fantasy Risers and Fallers from the week is on Tuesdays, and then it mixes it up on Wednesdays a little bit. I like to look at some of the trends and stuff, but definitely check it out. One of the players that we did look at and when we talk about the trends, Robbie Anderson. What about this guy for the Jets? Week 12, he had a banner day, and he stretched his scoring streak out now. 5 games with a touchdown. He's finished with 7 touchdowns on the season. Only DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, and Marvin Jones have had more receiving touchdowns at the position this season. And Anderson clearly has developed a nice rapport with Josh McCown. He's seen at least 5 targets in all but 1 game this season. He's averaging 7.3 targets per contest since week 6. And he's been a top 6 wide receiver in fantasy points over that stretch. And at this point, this guy is a must-start, high-volume wide receiver 2. You can definitely count on him, too, in these upcoming matchups a little bit. But I am tempering my expectations slightly because the matchups at Denver, at New Orleans, the Chargers, not the top matchups available out there if you're looking for, you know, great matchup analysis and, you know, points against and things that work in your favor. You're not going to really find it there, but I think he's done enough to me that I can confidently see him being ranked within my top 25 the rest of the way. And what a great waiver wire find. He's one of the many players I broke down this week. Check out my articles at Pro Football Focus. You can always get those links on Twitter there at Dan Claskins as well. Let's dive into some injury report. Lots of names to discuss. We're going to sort of rapid fire through these. We'll start with Devontae Freeman. He has been cleared from concussion protocol when the Falcons running back after missing his past 2 games now with a concussion. He's back in the mix. It's going to be an interesting matchup indeed, as you know, we've got Atlanta and Minnesota going toe-to-toe in a key NFC playoff battle in Atlanta. The Falcons favored by 3. The total's 47 on this one. I think Freeman, Coleman, I like Freeman a little better in this matchup because, one, Coleman, he's definitely going to take a little cut here. I don't think he's going to go away altogether, but he's been so uninvolved, I should say, in the passing game that I view both of these guys probably as back-end RB2s with some risk involved. Maybe Coleman himself's a little TD-dependent to be up in the top 20 this week, but your guess is as good as mine, I'll be honest. Concussion could keep Doug Martin from playing as Tampa Bay travels to Green Bay for the Packers. Martin's been in an abysmal slump. Should he miss time, Jaquizz Rodgers and Peyton Barber will be the guys most likely to take things over in that capacity. And I definitely think that, you know, Martin has been a disappointment. So this is not a guy I'm waiting around for anyway to get into my lineup. And as I said, I mean, it's going to be a committee approach. I mean, Charles Sims is probably going to get involved a little bit there as well. So not really something I'm going to go out and try to necessarily target this week. But if you need a Bucs running back, my best guess at the one is you want will be Jaquizz Rodgers. You seem to be the most reliable in this absence. Peyton Barber did score. Has been definitely getting some touches in this mix too, so he can't be ignored either. In terms of other backfield situations we're keeping our eyes on with injuries, Damian Williams for the Dolphins appears that he could miss week 13 now with this shoulder issue. So expect Kenyon Drake to pick up a full-time role there. I think he's still just a back-end RB2. Probably feel better off if I'm using him as a flex, really, though, for Miami. The Dolphins, interesting matchup against Denver because, well, somebody's going to have to win unless they end in a tie. But two teams definitely headed in the wrong direction this season. So this could be a chance here for Drake to have a nice game. I'll use him if I need him. And that's pretty much it. Ty Montgomery, not really expecting much here. He and Jones remain out. Montgomery appears to be a little closer with this rib issue, but for now, Jamal Williams remains a high-volume RB2. Should he handle most of that load himself? Green Bay, as I mentioned, taking on Tampa Bay there in a home matchup. We've got Amari Cooper, likely to be out with concussion. Of course, Michael Crabtree, he's going to miss this game due to a suspension for his stupidity in week number 12. We don't need to talk about that, but with the Raiders, without both of these guys, likely, I mean, pretty dicey. You know, you're looking, who's Carr going to throw the ball to? The matchup's great against the Giants. Janoris Jenkins now out. The team just basically just going to shambles in front of our eyes. So this is a nice matchup, but your top two receivers are out. So that makes it tough for me to like Carr. But Seth Roberts, a sneaky low-end wide receiver three on my board this week in PPR formats. Juju Smith-Schuster, a little early in the week on him. He missed last week with the hamstring, so we're going to want to keep our eyes on that as the Steelers pay a trip to Cincinnati to tangle with the Bengals on Monday night. Sterling Shepard says he's feeling much better from his migraines. Looking like he's going to return, but with Geno Smith under center, I've dropped him down pretty substantially in my rankings. Indeed, outside my top 36, in fact, or no, I've got him at 30. So more of a wide receiver three. Chris Hogan, who knows? We haven't heard much about anything about this guy. It's getting hard to keep a roster spot for him. I'm not going to dump him unless I need to, but I don't think he's going to play this week, and who knows when he will play again. Kelvin Benjamin, same situation. They're calling it day-to-day. He didn't practice on Wednesday. We're going to have to get him out there, but even if he gets on the field, he's clearly less than 100%. He hasn't done next to nothing in a Bills uniform, so I'm not going after him. Playing the Patriots, Jordan Reed's out already again for Thursday's matchup with the hamstring. Greg Olsen aggravated that foot issue. We're going to have to let him play his way into your lineup as well. Still holding on to him on the rosters because I do think that if this is indeed a minor setback, he could still be a factor. Jameis Winston, we expect him to return from a shoulder issue. Nice matchup here against the Packers. I'm not putting him inside my top 12, so chances are you're not starting him in your fantasy lineups either. I did pick him up, though, in one spot and have him in another. So I've got him on the bench in case he gets hot. C.J. Beathard, he's out. Knee issue there. So the Jimmy Garoppolo era has officially begun in San Francisco. Did lead him to a touchdown as time expired last week. This week he gets the full start up against the Bears. It's an upgrade for the offense as a whole. But for me and Garoppolo, not really buying in on him as a fantasy starter in redraft leagues at this juncture. We will keep our eyes on him, though, with some interest. Jay Cutler is expected to return from a concussion. That means Matt Moore's back to the bench. That means Kenny Stills can go back to being pretty much a non-factor in my rankings. Waiver wire is always tough this time of the year, but you know, we'll go position by position, try to give you a couple names here to target. Some guys out there, I talked about Winston. I think not a guy I'm crazy necessarily about starting this week unless you're absolutely desperate. But I think if you got a spot for him and you're hurting a quarterback, it does make some sense for me to go ahead and try to make the move for him there. You know, if you're really looking at some other quarterback type things. I mean, we talked about Garoppolo. I mean, he's okay. Josh McCown's probably, outside of Tyrod Taylor, the best this week option off the waiver wire. And I really like what Taylor has in the playoffs with a couple matchups ahead with the Patriots starting this week. He's got the Dolphins twice. One of them is in week 17, of course. But you know, some great opportunities there to be in some shootouts, get the game flow he needs. And like I said, Josh McCown is out there too. And you can't ignore Case Keenum, running back. I mean, Kenyon Drake, the name we talked about. Surely Rex Burkhead and Jamal Williams are already scooped up. But Austin Eckler's another guy we've been tooting a horn. Not a lot of new revelations at the running back position this week. To really discuss. Jaquizz Rodgers, as I said, going to be more involved with Martin aiming to be out. If you're absolutely desperate for something that is out there, even in deeper leagues, he could be your guy. At the wide receiver position, Josh Gordon's already been picked up, as has his teammate Corey Coleman in most cases. Zay Jones, talked him up last week, like him still. I think D.D. Westbrook is definitely on the rise as well. And in deeper leagues, you can probably even go after Cordarrelle Patterson with Crabtree suspension and Amari Cooper out. If nothing else, he could be an interesting pickup this week. And as I mentioned, I really like Seth Roberts as well as a spot play. So there's the waiver wire picks. Tight end's a little dicey. Ricky Seals-Jones probably available out there. I don't expect him to continue seeing this production on his limited opportunities, but guy has scored three times in 2 weeks, so you could do worse on the waiver wire. And I think Hunter Henry, if he got dropped, could be another play. Good matchup this week. Alpha's monster Thanksgiving Day performance. He's taking on the Browns. Players I like more, some I like less. We're going to roll through these pretty quick for you. My rankings are exclusively a Pro Football Focus, but also uploaded in Fantasy Pros, where we can compare how I'm doing against the industry. Has it been my best season? Nowhere near my exploding performance a year ago. I like that, exploding. Definitely last year had a fast start to put me in a good spot. But, you know, we are up there in the green still, so amongst the top 50. I've had many weeks inside the top 30 there and continue to just follow my process, make these educated guesses. Here's some guys I like more and less than the expert consensus. Tyrod Taylor, we talked about him. The floor is just so high. I like him three spots ahead of the experts. He's QB7 on my board. I really think that this game, New England's been a lot better against the quarterbacks. I'm not buying into those stats and how all that breaks down, but I do think he's been a lot better. That floor is a high ceiling. And I think the game flow is going to dictate him throwing the football as they're going to be behind. So Lamar Miller, he's a running back I like more. Got him as RB10, five spots higher. He's had over 100-plus total yards in two straight against the Titans and scored a touchdown in those games. I think he can do both on Sunday. He's more of a hunch play, but back in RB1, and that's five spots ahead of the expert consensus. This guy's not really a recommended starting option, but it is an interesting name to discuss. My RB46 this week in my PPR rankings, DJ Foster. He is with the Cardinals, taking on the Rams, and he was a guy, an undrafted free agent by the Patriots. I followed him during his days in Arizona State, was a receiver converted to a running back, and with Kerwin Williams out in this game, Foster's going to get that primary role behind Adrian Peterson, and I really think that Arizona is going to be chucking the rock. The game flow does not suggest Peterson's going to be heavily involved. I think the Rams score some points in this one. They're a 7-point favorite in the desert on the road there. So if that's the case and Vegas is right, DJ Foster is going to get some targets. Had a sneaky 6.8 PPR points a week ago. I think he gets into double digits this week and starts to get on that fantasy radar a little bit. Corey Davis, my wide receiver 25. Rishard Matthews didn't play last week in a late week injury and it did not practice today. So I'm high on Davis. I think Tennessee probably is going to do all right in this contest. And I think Davis, this could be a game that, you know, could line up for him to have a bit of a breakout. T.Y. Hilton, another guy. Hasn't been completely shut down by the Jags in recent games and had moderate success there. Hey, I think in the upside alone, you have to put this guy as a wide receiver 3. I've got him 8 spots higher than the experts. I got him as my wide receiver 31 as the Colts make the trip to Jacksonville to take on that tough Jags defense. From players I like more to some I like less. This one might be my recency bias kicking in a little bit, but I'm liking Marcus Mariota a lot less after he didn't do anything again last week against the Colts. I've dropped him down to my QB14 this week, so you're not ignoring him altogether, but that's three spots lower than other experts at Fantasy Pros. Jerick McKinnon, my RB22, that's three spots lower. Three spots lower for me and Tevin Coleman in that game, too. I got him as my RB25. We'll start with Coleman. I hit it on it earlier, but with Freeman back, I like Freeman a little bit more. I think it fits better against his Minnesota defense. And Coleman's not involved in the passing game. So he's an RB3 flex play again now with Freeman back in there with significant upside. So if you need him, don't think it's a lost cause. But it's just not looking quite as tasty. RB22, as I said, was McKinnon, three spots lower. I mean, the volume is inconsistent at this point. So he could explode or he could get you nothing. So that volatility is what keeps him down there. If he plays at his best, he's got top 10 potential. And it could happen this week, but I'm not holding my breath. Wide receiver 20, Larry Fitzgerald. The high floor will keep him there, but I'm not going any higher than 20 on this guy at this point. Blaine Gabbert looked pretty good last week, but the Rams are in town here. The volume might be there in the game flow, but I'll start Fitzgerald in most leagues where I have him, but I'm not going after him in DFS this week. And my wide receiver 53, Martavis Bryant, nine spots lower. I know everybody's big on Bryant, and you know, if Juju Smith-Schuster's out there, he's certainly capable of having a couple plays to put up a monster stat line. But I still think that he's been way too inconsistent. And I think as good as Pittsburgh's looked these last couple weeks, those matchups have been at home. And this one's on the road. It's in Cincinnati. These have been lower scoring affairs. So I think we're going to see a slight dip down from what we've seen the past 2 weeks in this Pittsburgh passing attack. So buyer, beware. I'm fresh out of time. I'm fresh out of breath. I'm glad you were able to tune in. You can, of course, follow my updates leading up to kickoff on Twitter at Dan Claskins. You can catch me Saturday mornings, this Saturday including, with my friend James Adams. We will be hosting Fantastic's Insider Football, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. That's Sirius 210 XM 87. And check out my SoundCloud. Not only will you find this podcast there with the Get Sports Info SoundCloud page, you will also find some of my local radio segments I do with talking some fantasy football leading up to kickoff as well. That's all the time I got for now. Thanks for listening in to the Get Sports Info podcast. Good luck and enjoy the game.
Get Sports Radio.
Until next time, I'm Dan Claskins. We'll see you then.